Half, Whitey, Rammer. This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
It is, and it's great to have your company. 22 past 6 on a Friday morning on the Breakfast Club. Don't forget Michael Felgate from 8.30 or so on a Racing Pulse as well. The Friday form not too far away with Dean Lester and Trent Langscale. The boys are back in town, and it's great to have Dino back on deck after a bit of a hiatus through the winter months.
Something that took my interest in the paper, the small paper this morning, was the suspensions to certain individuals over the course of their career. And I'm just looking at current players now. You look at Jordan Lewis, number 1, Luke Hodge, number 6, Lance Franklin, number 11, Sean Burgoyne, number 14 at Hawthorn. I don't condone it by any stretch of the imagination, but you can see why Hawthorn was such a good team through that period of time. They had these uncompromising players. And Hodgie mentioned that in his press conference on earlier this week, that unfortunately he was prepared to go over the line a couple of times for the, as he would put it, and as probably Alistair Clarkson would put it, the good of the team. Now, I think that's where, and this is obviously what the article is written for, is where I think Melbourne are trying to get to now. That uncompromising style of play, a bit more on edge. So it's very interesting and timely, I think, this article.
Yeah, well, no doubt about it. What it does show is Lance Franklin, nothing but a Sydney thug. That's clearly what that says. We'll talk more about that with Steve, I reckon, because I reckon there's something in that, Rammer, as well, considering the Melbourne factor and the impact of that it's having on their game style at the moment as well. But we want to talk some tennis, because overnight we had our semi-finals of the women's draw, and Craig Gabriel, of course, was there live watching it all unfold as he does, and he's been good enough to join us again this morning to discuss it. G'day, Craig.
Evening from Wimbledon. Now, I just wanted to ask, what was my prediction yesterday?
In which category? In this, the semis?
Yeah, the women's semis.
I think you might have said Venus. And
Adam Whitenall gave me grief because I said Venus would beat Konter and Muguruza would win.
Now, excuse me, Craig. I just need to just chime in there.
Should see his
little,
eyes,
little
Craig.
Correction here.
When we discussed this on the first day of the tournament, I suggested that Venus Williams could be winning the tournament, Craig.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe you did. I don't remember that far back. But you gave me grief yesterday because you were going to pick whoever I didn't. I did against who I did pick.
No, you've done that many interviews on that many radio stations. I don't know whether we quite had that conversation yesterday, probably a few days ago, when we couldn't find the winner of the women with the amount of upsets that there has been. But in all seriousness, though, what Venus has been able to do, and half we were talking about this last week, that before the tournament, Venus was in Sydney at a conference.
She was.
And she had this major incident, a traffic incident that caused there was a death of someone involved in the incident. Her sister's about to have a baby. She's about 48 years of age. And somehow she's made it through, Craig, to the final of Wimbledon. It is an amazing story.
It is an amazing story, especially when you consider all the health issues she's also been through. And, and she continues to manage the Sjogren syndrome that she has. So it is a remarkable performance, and just like it was at the Australian Open with the way she played over there to reach the final. But here she is in her 9th Wimbledon final, which is an extraordinary effort on her part, really absolutely superb.
Would it go down as one of the most amazing victories in the history of Wimbledon if she was to win?
It certainly, I think it would probably be up there. You know, when you consider that I think the last time she reached the final was 2009. So that's quite a big gap between finals. I mean, it's what I find amazing is that she's still got the desire after all she's been through, that she still has the desire and the motivation and all to keep on playing for the biggest titles.
Well, she's a phenomenon, the way she's been able to carry on and have that desire week in, week out. That's the beauty of these Williams girls, Craig, that you just see that their competitiveness. It just doesn't seem to ever be able to be satisfied. I mean, that's one of the remarkable components of their whole makeup, isn't it?
Yeah, look, that's very true. And the thing is, even when they do win a big championship, they'll be happy and excited for about 10 minutes. Then it's, okay, we'll just put that away and start considering and thinking about the next stuff. So in one sense, that's impressive, but I would also love it if they were to enjoy it a lot longer than they necessarily do.
Well, what she did do, whilst winning that game 6-4, 6-2, was she brought an end to the run of Joanna Konta, who, of course, was the great white hope there for the English fans at the All England Club. It wasn't to be, although I don't think she loses many admirers for her campaign, does she?
I didn't catch that last bit, sorry.
She doesn't lose many admirers, does she, Konta, with her campaign? She put up a good fight.
No, she played very well to get to the semis, but I genuinely had doubts about her going any further than the semifinals, to, you know, getting there, and I thought Venus would beat her. But what I wasn't impressed with Konta was that, yeah, I fully acknowledge and accept that she would have been incredibly disappointed and upset at that loss, especially when there was so much attention on her. But the fact that she didn't bother wait for Venus after the match and just walked off, I thought that was a bit of poor form.
That doesn't happen at Wimbledon, Craig.
Well, at times it does, but none of the local media have said anything that I can tell about that. But heaven help somebody like one of the Australian players if they did that. The British media would come down on them like a ton of bricks.
In the other match, Garbine Muguruza got through, and she's an interesting...
What's her name?
Garbine. We're in Australia, it's Muguruza.
Muguruza.
But she has sort of been, not so much in the wilderness, but hasn't quite lived up to the expectation from a couple of years ago when she really burst onto the scene.
Well, she reached the final here in 2015... And she won the French Open last year. And it was really after the French Open that she was erratic with her results. And it was coming to terms with that. She even said at the French Open when she lost the title this year that to her, that was a bit of quite a big relief to get it over and done with. And I think that's the fact is that she's now got that away and to one side, and she's now concentrating all over again. And I think if she wins, it will be a different situation this time around. She'd know what to expect and how to accept it and all that sort of stuff. But she's played very, very well. I really love watching her play. I just like the way she moves. I like the way she hits the ball. Her composure on the court, and she certainly whipped Rybarikova today, 6-1, 6-1.
Yeah, that was a smacking in the other semi, 6-1, 6-1, which leads us into a final discussion before we let you go. Of course, we've got the men's semis coming up today as well. Where are you leaning? Are you sticking with Venus in the storyline, or do you think that this young talent, Muguruza, can get the job done?
Yeah, I think it might be Muguruza, actually. I think she might score the win. Interesting point that I picked up and got it confirmed by the WTA. It's only the second time in the Open era that a particular player, one player, has played or is going to play the sisters in finals at the same major. In other words, what I'm getting at is that in 2015, Muguruza played Serena in the final over here. That was Serena's sixth Wimbledon crown. And now she's going to be playing Venus in the final over here this year. And Venus chasing her sixth crown. The only other time that's happened was with Martina Hingis. She played Venus in the U.S. Open in 1997 and Serena in the U.S. Open 1999. So that's a rarity, and I think good on Muguruza to be achieving something like that.
Good step by you two. Well played, Craig. Very nice work. What about the men's semis that kick off tonight? We won't chat to you across the weekend, so the winner will be crowned on Sunday. Sam Querrey takes on Cilic in the first semi, and then Federer and Burdick go head-to-head in the second. These quickly, and the overall outcome for the men.
Yeah, I'm sticking with the overall outcome. I'm sticking with Roger, and he's been my choice from the beginning, so I'd go with Federer over Tomáš Berdych. And on the other side, I'm going to go with Marin Cilic over Sam Querrey.
Right, so it's been a fascinating championship, without a doubt, in both divisions, the men's and the women's, through the last couple of weeks. So it's going to captivated the whole audience, the whole tennis audience, on the weekend with the finals, of course. Craig, we appreciate your time and all your effort through the last couple of weeks. So we'll chat to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Talk later.